Well, good morning. I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. I'm excited about today. In fact, what we're doing today is we're wrapping up this series that we've had during the Christmas season called Come to Worship. And we get the title of this series from the passage that we covered the very first week, found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Go ahead and put it up there. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, or wise men as you might know it, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The desire that we have through this series is for us to understand who God is and have it be a natural outflowing for us to worship him. Because I truly believe that it is a desire in each of us. We might not admit it at first, but we have a desire to worship God. In fact, that is our big takeaway through this entire series. If there is one thing that you have listened to and allowed to be able to sink into your heart, it is this, that we are created to worship God. That's what we are designed for. Why are we here on this planet? To know him and to make him known. That we worship him for who he is and what he has done in our life. And so my hope is this, is that going into 2017, that our church will be known as a place where there are true worshipers. Because the Father is seeking true worshipers. It is important for him that he is out seeking for true worshipers, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And my hope is that we will truly worship God. The very first week we talked about how do we worship God by bringing our gifts to him. In fact, we saw that through the story of the Magi. The second week we talked about lifting up our hands. For some of you, that was the very first time that you lifted up your hands in worship, and it was a little bit uncomfortable for you, but hopefully we got rid of that awkwardness, and it won't be the last time that you lift your hands in worship. And then last week we talked about how sometimes we're going through difficult times. And how we truly worship God is that we pour our heart out to him. And during that pouring our heart out moment, all of a sudden, our complaint and our request turns into praise. That we trust him and he's going to come through for us. And instead of focusing on our problem, we begin to focus on how God is working through our problem. How we worship God is that we pour our heart out to him. Last week, this week, we're going to be talking about the very same story that we talked about the first week. We're going to go back to the wise men, the story of the wise men, to see where we're going today. So let's go ahead and pick up in chapter 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, the very first week, you kind of heard me go into overjoyed a little bit. And I want to just give you a little sneak peek. We're going to be talking about this on Christmas Eve. And this is something I'm passionate about. And you know me, when I get passionate, whoo, come on, somebody. Man, we're going to be talking about being overjoyed. Let's continue on into verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Today we are going to be talking about bowing down, kneeling, and worshiping God. Now some of you are like, man, I just raised my hand for the first time. Now you're talking about kneeling. Like, this is a little bit uncomfortable for me, right? Like, we don't really think in our culture about kneeling too often, do we? In fact, I was trying to do this. I was talking to the worship team about this earlier. Like, I was trying to think about times in our culture where I couldn't think of any for ladies, but for guys, I thought of two times that we actually take a knee, that we kneel down. The very first one is when you ask the biggest question of your life, right? Like you get down, will you marry me, right? Like there's one. Oh, some of you didn't even kneel during then. And some people are carrying grudges. There's no elbows in our church, all right? This is not the time for elbows going on right here. But you kneel down and you ask for that hand in marriage. The other one that I thought about is when you have to take your sporting picture, right? Like, it doesn't matter what sport it is, football, basketball, baseball, you got to take a knee and, like, hold on to your helmet. Like, this is the pose to show my athletic ability. I don't understand why that is. Why is that the pose? But that's what the pose is, right? But, hey, guys, at least we don't have to do this one. I don't even, What is that about? I don't even know what that's about. Why do girls do this? You know, I don't even know. And then they throw the duck face. I don't know what that is. Why does that happen? But if we got the knee, the girls got the little elbow, like, back off from me a little bit. I don't understand what that's about. But we're talking about kneeling today. Now, here's something that's really interesting about this story right here. That when we're talking about the wise men, many times we picture in our head what the nativity scene looked like. The nativity is where you see baby Jesus in the manger and Mary and Joseph are beside him. And we think about the wise men being there at that moment of his birth, right? Like there's baby Jesus and then you got Mary and mother, and Mary's kneeling, but Joseph is there with his staff, right? And then you got some shepherds and then you got a little drummer boy, and you got some sheep that don't stink at all, and there's a star hanging above the barn, and then there's the wise men coming, right? We think about that. Why do we think that that's what the scene is? Because every daggum Christmas card that we've received for 50 years has that picture on it, right? So we think that that's what it looked like. But the reality is this, is that the wise men were not there at the moment of his birth. They weren't there. See, what they said is that they saw the star when Jesus was born. And remember, we talked about that the wise men, they were approximately 900 miles away from Jesus at that moment. And they had to travel that distance to get to him. It was not Southwestern at that time. They had to take camels and donkeys and walk, and it took a long time for the wise men to get there. And so we approximate that he was about 2 years old, that Jesus was about 2 years old when the wise men finally saw who Jesus was, which for me changes the whole dynamic of this picture right here. It changes the whole dynamic to me because you see wise men coming before a two-year-old. Does anybody in here have a two-year-old right now? Anybody got a two-year-old? So we got some two-year-olds. Anybody ever have a two-year-old before? All right, for the rest of you, have you ever been around a two-year-old? All right, so we have in our mind a picture of two-year-olds. Let me tell you, like before my wife and I had kids, I had these lofty expectations. My kids are going to be the most well-behaved little kids in the entire world. Like old ladies at the grocery store are going to come up to me and say, I cannot believe how well-behaved your little boys are, right? Like that was my mind because I'm like, I'm raising them the right way. Because before I had kids, I was judging everybody who had kids, you know? Like your kid's going crazy. I'm like, there's a parent right there. Why don't you take care of your kids, you know? And I thought I had it all figured out. But then something happened. Then they turned to. And then my life was flipped upside down because the reality of it is this, is two-year-olds are messed up, aren't they? Two-year-olds are messed up. Two-year-olds will just flat out lie to your face, won't they? I can fly. No, you can't, you little liar. You can't fly. In fact, you're all messed up too. You got crackers in your nose. You got crackers up in your hair. You got slobber all over your clothes. Two-year-olds are messed up, aren't they? Here's how messed up two-year-olds are. I was thinking about this week. Two-year-olds will stand there, look you dead in the eye, not blink at all, and they'll take a dump. How messed up is that, right? Like, that is messed up. I don't know why I've been talking about poop so much during this series, but it just has happened. But they will do it, and you won't even know. The only person that will know are the parents because they see this little quiver in their lip, like, that's it. That's all you're going to get. And then the parents say, hey, did you just go poopy? And then they lie again. No. Like, two-year-olds are messed up, aren't they? They really are. It's a good thing that they're so cute, though. Otherwise, it'd be... there is nobody on the planet like two-year-olds. And the wise men, being around two-year-olds, they saw Jesus, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And that itself, to me, seems like a miracle. That seems like a miracle because they experienced who Jesus was. They experienced even a two-year-old coming before Jesus, and their natural response was to bow down and kneel. See, we don't do that really in our culture, but what I hope to do today is inspire you. Inspire you to understand why do we kneel down. And then maybe for some of you, you might kneel down at some point. Maybe for some of you it will become an often occurrence for you that you will kneel down before God and truly worship him. Let's go to Psalms 95 right here. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. My plea to some of you today is come. Experience who Jesus is. Experience him. Come, let us worship. Let us bow down to him. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Why? Because of who he is. For he is our God. See, that's one of the things, the reason why I don't think that we naturally think about bowing down by taking a knee or kneeling before God is because we don't truly understand the magnitude of who he truly is. And the more that we know him, the more that we begin to understand who he truly is. He is the creator of the universe who just spoke and the world became. That the universe became at a word, he said it and it came into being. That he made a way for us when there was no way. He is my Lord and my Savior. He is a good, good Father. And we begin to understand that. It's not an awkward moment for us to kneel. It is a natural response for us because we begin to understand who he truly is and how big he is and that he loves me individually. We worship him for who he is and for what he has done. And we are the people of his pasture. What is that? He provides for us. Man, we're sitting here in an amazing nation. We're sitting here that we all have roofs over our heads. We might go through some difficult times, but I don't see too many hungry bodies around here, do I? You know, he provides for us. The flock under his care, he provides for us and he protects us. We are here today. We just heard about an amazing protection of God's hand on Mike Filkins. Man, somebody who we love so much, and God came through. We worship him because of who he is and for what he has done for us. He is our Lord and our Savior. He made a way when there was no way. And when we begin to understand that, it's not an awkward moment for us to take a knee. It seems like the natural reaction for us. Now, the interesting thing about the word right here, that the Hebrew word for bow down, what it really means, is it doesn't mean just simply to take a knee or to just bow down. It means to get as low as you possibly can. Because the more that you begin to grasp who God is, sometimes kneeling isn't even enough. Sometimes it's falling down on your face and just say, God, I worship you. I'm so thankful that I can have a relationship with you. And we see how good and how powerful he is. This is how powerful our God is. That no mortal man can actually see God for who he is. He is so powerful, so great. He is so holy that we can't even look upon him and live. Moses asked that question. Moses was a person who talked to God friend to friend. And he asked God, can I see you? And God said, no, you can't do it. Because if you look at me, then you're going to die. I'm just too holy. My glory is too much for you. So instead, what you need to do is you need to turn away. Don't look. And I'm going to pass by. And you can just see my coattails. You can see just a little bit of that. And even when that happened, that Moses came down from the mountain after experiencing that, and the people couldn't even look at Moses' face because it was glowing so much. That's how powerful God is. Man, God is so powerful that the temple in the Old Testament, they built this temple and it had these different courts that were in it. They had the outer courts where all people could go. Then they had inner courts where only certain people could go. And then there was the Holy of Holies, the holiest place where they believed that God's being dwelt among them. And in the Holy of Holies, nobody could go in there except for the high priest, and only then once a year. And what he did is that when he would go into the Holy of Holies, before he would go in there, they would tie a rope around his waist just in case that dude was a little messed up when he got in front of the Holy of Holies and he dropped dead. So if they heard a thump, they thought, well, we're going to pull him out because nobody else wanted to go in because they dropped dead too, right? That's how powerful God is. And when we begin to understand that, it's not an awkward moment for us to bow down. It's a natural response for us to just be like, God, I just want to be close to you. I want to know you more and more. So what I hope to do today is inspire you. I want to kind of let you know up front that the past couple of times that we've talked about worshiping, that at the end of that service, we've had the worship team come up and like we encourage you all to raise your hands. Like I said, many of you, that was your first time. I'm not going to have everybody kneel today, right? Like some of you are like, this tile floor, man, I should have brought some of my volleyball knee pads, you know, or something like that. We're not going to do that today. But maybe for some of you, it's going to be something that at home you begin to understand. Maybe kneeling down beside your bed before you actually crawl into it. Or that you just are in prayer at some point and you just say, you know what, I need to take a knee. And so what we're going to do today is talk about three reasons that you could possibly take a knee before God. The very first one is this, if you're taking notes. We kneel before him in pursuit. We kneel before God in pursuit. What does that mean? That we kneel before God in pursuit. We're going to talk about a little story found in Mark. And this is a story that I've taught on many, many times. The rich young ruler who had seemingly everything that the world had to offer, but yet he was coming to Jesus and asking him a question. How can I inherit the kingdom of God? And I've taught on this story so many times, but I've never looked at it in this light. Go ahead and throw Mark chapter 10, verse 17 up there. As Jesus started on his way, and then this is where I never saw this before, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before Jesus and then asked the question, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? See, all of a sudden for me, I've taught on that question so many times. That there's something that the world has to offer. And this man had seemingly everything that he wanted. But he was in desperate need for the thing that everybody needs. And he was so desperate that he was running after Jesus. Here's the deal. I'm a grown man and I don't go running after things too much anymore, right? Like anybody with me where you're like, hey, I am excited about this. I'm going to run after it. I went and ran some sprints the other day, and I was like, what am I doing this for? But this man was in a desperate need, and he was running after Jesus. And when he finally got to Jesus, he was so desperate that he fell on his knees. He kneeled down before Jesus because he wanted to know who Jesus was. Now, maybe there's some of you in this room today who are in this exact same place. Maybe you're in a place where you don't know who Jesus is. You're questioning who God is. Does God even really exist? And if God does exist, then where does Jesus even fit in to all these other world religions that are around out there? And you're beginning to question these things. What is the real meaning of life? And when you really want to be able to know who Jesus is, there's going to be a desperation. And there's some of you in this place today who even feel that. All of a sudden, you experience something during worship. You don't even know what that meant, what that looked like. You just knew that there was something going on, that there was a desperation inside of you. And you're in this exact same place today. And I want to encourage you that if you're in this place, exactly be like this young man, where he's coming after God and he is so desperate that maybe you're going to be in a place where you're going to say, you know what, this question is so important that I'm going to actually get on my knees and I'm going to ask God, what must I do to know you? What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Maybe that's where some of you are. And you're going to say, you know what, this is so important, I'm going to go after him. I've told you my story many times. Those of you that come to our church know that I was living a life far away from God and in the Marine Corps, and I grew up knowing him, but I walked away from him, and there was a moment that I had where I felt God like kind of smack me upside the back of my head. My spiritual soul was just awakened when he said, I've got more in store for you than this. I've created you for more than the destructive life that you're living. But I haven't told you this before, that after I got out of the Marine Corps, that I began to go to church. And even though I had said, you know, I need to leave that life behind, many of you know that just as you accept Jesus, there's still a lot of junk going on inside of you, isn't there? Like, yeah, you had this amazing moment of salvation, but man, I still got this sin living inside of me. We call this deliverance. I need to be delivered from this. And so I was going to church, but I was still struggling with a lot of things. And there was one morning where we were having worship, and the pastor just kind of stopped. It was kind of unusual. And he said, you know, if there's anybody in here who needs to pursue God, now's the time for you to be able to come up front. And there was this space up front, and I just went up, and I began to pursue God. And as I'm praising God, I have my hands lifted. Lord Jesus, help me overcome the sin that I have inside of myself. The pastor came up. He put his hands on me. He prayed for me. And in a moment, I had to drop to my knees. I had to drop to my knees because I began to understand who God was in a way that I never had before, to experience His freedom, to experience His grace and His mercy. And I didn't care who was watching. I had to drop to my knees because it was just me and God, and I was pursuing Him. Maybe you're going to be in a place like that today. Maybe you're in a place where you have to say, you know what, this is too important. This relationship, this question is too important. I need to drop to my knees and ask God, God, what must I do to save me from myself, to get rid of all this junk that I've been holding on to for a long time? And you're going to pursue God. Maybe for some of you, that's going to be you today. Why do we kneel down before God? To pursue Him. What's the second reason why some of us might pursue God? If you're taking notes, we kneel down before Him in repentance. See, when we begin to know who Jesus is and what He has saved us from, there are times that we still sin. We're still sinners, aren't we? We're still human. We still mess up in big ways. I am there. I still mess up in big ways at times. And when I begin to understand where I'm at, and I see how I sinned against God, or maybe how I sinned against somebody who I love, all of a sudden, there's a moment where the weight of that sin is so much that I have to bow down before Him, kneel before Him, and ask forgiveness, because we realize who He truly is and how He wants to be able to free us from that. Here's a story found in the Gospels. And it's a story about when Jesus just started His ministry. He just started His ministry. He's just beginning to preach to people. People are starting to follow Him, and He's beginning to gather around Him His disciples. And He goes into this moment right here. When they had done so, they caught... let me give you a backup story here. So here's what's going on is that Jesus is preaching. He's preaching to so many people, and He's right on the shoreline. And so people are gathering around, and He's got to be able to make a little bit of room for Himself because people are kind of creeping in on Him. So He gets into a couple of boats, a fisherman. And so He's preaching from the boats to the people on the shore. And as time passes, He kind of finishes things up, and people begin to go their separate ways. And he tells Peter, James, and John, he says, hey, why don't you take these boats and go out into the deep water? They had just finished fishing all day long. And He says, why don't you go ahead and take these boats and go out into the deep water? And I want you to throw your nets out again. And so they say, you know what? We've been out there all day. We haven't caught anything. But because You said so, we'll do it. So they go out in the deep waters, and this is where we pick it up. When they had done so, when they threw out their nets, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. They hadn't caught anything all day. But Jesus said, hey, go and do this. And they began to experience who Jesus was and the power that Jesus has. And then this is how they respond in verse 8. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus. When he realized who Jesus was and how powerful and how amazing Jesus was, he fell to his knees and he said, Lord, please leave me because I'm such a sinful man. He saw the holiness of God, and in a moment he was like, dude, I'm a bad person. I have junk that I've been hiding for a long time. I haven't shown anybody. I haven't shown my wife any of this stuff. And I'm in a bad place. You got to get away from me because I am such a sinful person. See, many times for us, when we see who Jesus is, we think, oh, you know what? Man, this was amazing that I caught all these fish. God, please bless me with more fish. God, please continue to bless my business. But when we truly understand who Jesus is, there's something inside of our life that says, I want to be a different person. Change me. Make me more like you. But I'm a bad place, and I've been living in this for so long. You got to get away from me. And let me tell you something. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the great news of Jesus Christ. That even when we desperately say, leave me for I'm a sinful person, that somebody with a repentant heart, God will never turn away from. That he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is going to come through for us no matter what we have done. He is going to be there for us. He will never turn away from somebody with a repentant heart. Look how he finishes this story. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. In a moment, Peter's life was changed because he experienced Jesus. He fell to his knees and he repented. And his heart was changed. His life was changed forever. Why do we kneel before God? Sometimes we need to pursue him. At other times, we understand who he is. And we ask for repentance. God, please forgive me of my sins. The very last reason why we might bow down is we kneel down before him in submission. We kneel before him in submission. Now, for some of you that know me, I grew up in Iowa. You know, like this morning, I was coming in, it was a little cold outside, and I've got this really sweet Iowa Hawkeye scarf, and so I was like, I gotta wear a scarf today. And I came in, and the guys were even like, what, you got a blizzard outside wearing a scarf? I'm like, hey man, I got an Iowa Hawkeye scarf. I don't get to wear it very often in Arizona. I'm gonna rock that thing this morning, right? Like, it was fantastic to be able to do that. So I grew up in Iowa, which is, if you know this, man, the Hawkeye state is a wrestling state. It is wrestling Mecca. If you want to be able to wrestle in a high caliber someplace, you got to go to the University of Iowa. That's where you got to do. We were born to wrestle. They feed us corn and they wrestle. That's all we do in Iowa. There's nothing else to do there, really. Go tip some cows on the weekend. That's all we got, all right? So I was born into this, and I was in the Marine Corps. So you kind of take those things together. I like to get into it a little bit when I was a kid. Like, let's just say I've been in a couple fights, all right? Like, that's just where I was growing up. And this is a little confession for you. Man, I really liked to as well. It was kind of fun to be able to mix it up every once in a while. Like, anybody, any UFC fighters, fans around here? Anybody? I got, man, there's forgiveness for you guys. Just go to God with a repentant heart. I'm with you, man. But there's something about that UFC, man, seeing somebody get punched in the face or seeing them getting in an arm bar, you know, and they got to submit. I'm a sinful person. That somebody with a repentant heart, God will never turn away from. That he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is going to come through for us no matter what we have done. He is going to be there for us. He will never turn away from somebody with a repentant heart. Look how he finishes this story. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. In a moment, Peter's life was changed because he experienced Jesus. He fell to his knees and he repented, and his heart was changed. His life was changed forever. Why do we kneel before God? Sometimes we need to pursue him. At other times, we understand who he is and we ask for repentance. God, please forgive me of my sins. The very last reason why we might bow down is we kneel down before him in submission. We kneel before him in submission. Now, for some of you that know me, I grew up in Iowa. You know, like this morning, I was coming in, it was a little cold outside, and I've got this really sweet Iowa Hawkeye scarf, and so I was like, I gotta wear a scarf today. And I came in, and the guys were even like, what, you got a blizzard outside wearing a scarf? I'm like, hey man, I got an Iowa Hawkeye scarf. I don't get to wear it very often in Arizona. I'm gonna rock that thing this morning, right? Like, it was fantastic to be able to do that. So I grew up in Iowa, which is, if you know this, man, the Hawkeye state is a wrestling state. It is wrestling Mecca. If you want to be able to wrestle in a high caliber someplace, you got to go to the University of Iowa. That's where you got to do. We were born to wrestle. They feed us corn and they wrestle. That's all we do in Iowa. There's nothing else to do there, really. Go tip some cows on the weekend. That's all we got, all right? So I was born into this, and I was in the Marine Corps. So you kind of take those things together. I like to get into it a little bit when I was a kid. Like, let's just say I've been in a couple fights, all right? Like, that's just where I was growing up. And this is a little confession for you. Man, I really like to as well. It was kind of fun to be able to mix it up every once in a while. Like, anybody, any UFC fighters, fans around here, anybody? I got, man, there's forgiveness for you guys. Just go to God with a repentant heart. I'm with you, man. But there's something about that UFC, man, seeing somebody get punched in the face or seeing them getting in an arm bar, you know, and they got to submit, right? They got to tap out, right? Like, I love seeing that happen. Somebody tap out. I quit. I'm hurting. And so here's the deal. Man, I'm going to brag a little bit. Man, when I was in college, our floor, we loved to wrestle. Man, there was wrestling going on in the hallways of my college all the time. Now, I want to tell you, man, I was the king of my floor right there. Ain't nobody touching me when it came. Now, I'm bragging, but you also got to remember, I went to Bible college. It's not exactly home of athletic studs, okay? So, I don't have exactly a whole lot of room to be able to brag, but nobody was touching me. And I would submit people all the time, you know, like people tapping all over the place. And it, man, I just loved it, except for one dude. There was one guy who would not tap. He would never tap. I mean, I don't even remember his name. I just know that he was real good friends with Jeremy, because you guys know Jeremy too, right? Anyway, I don't even remember this dude's name. But this guy would not tap at all. He would rather get choked out and pass out than tap out. He'd rather get to the place where his arm is almost breaking before he would tap out. Man, this guy, I bet you he would rather pee his pants. Well, it's this series, so he'd rather poop his pants than tap out. This guy would not tap out at all. He would not submit. It drove me crazy. Now, here's the deal, though. Some of us are in that exact same place right now. There's something that we hold on to so dearly. Okay, God, I want to follow you, but I'm not letting go of this. I'm not submitting this. This part of my life I want too badly. I want control of this situation. I don't care what happens in my life. I don't care where I'm at. I'm not going to let go of this situation. And there are some of you in this place today, you desperately need to tap out. You desperately need to be able to let go and submit to God. And you think, well, I can't do that. That's not a manly thing to do. And there's pride that begins to set in. Well, I can't do that. I've been living this life way too long. And pride begins to set in. But you need to go before God, kneel before Him, and submit your entire life, all the good, all the bad, all that is beautiful in your life and all that's ugly. And it's time for you to tap out. Go ahead and throw Matthew 22 or Luke 22 up there. The day before he was getting ready to die on a cross, he went and prayed in a garden, and he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed. He got on his knees and he submitted before the Father. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet it's not my will, but your will be done in my life. Jesus tapped out. Yet not my will, but your will be done in my life. There's some of you in here today who are holding on to something too tight, and you've been holding on to it for a whole long time. Way too long. And you need to be able to kneel down. Get on your knees before God and to be able to say, it's not my will anymore. It's brought me to this place and this place is not working for me at all. It's not my will, but your will be done. And thank God that Jesus was in this place where he would kneel down before God and submit to him. Because of that moment, there was a way where there was no way. And we can have eternal life. We can find eternal life in God because Jesus took a moment to submit himself to God. Today is a day for you. Today is a day for you to be able to say, no longer my will in my life, but your will be done. Why do we kneel before him? For some of you, or maybe many of you, you need to begin to pursue him. Why do we kneel before God? For some of you, or maybe many of you, you have to go to God in repentance. Why do we kneel before God? We need to submit, and that is each and every single one of us. Worship team, if you want to be able to come forward. I want to let you in on a little something right here. The reality is that you have a choice. You have a choice before you, specifically when it comes to kneeling before God. You can kneel before him today. You can kneel in pursuit. You can kneel in repentance. You can kneel in submission. You can kneel before him today, that it is your choice to say, God, I want to kneel before you. I want to have a true relationship with you. You can do that today, or you're going to do it later. But you will kneel before Jesus. Throw Philippians up there. Therefore, God exalted him, him is Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. His name is the only name to be glorified. His name is the only name worthy of our praise. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee at some point is going to bow down before Jesus in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God our Father. You can choose if you're going to bow down today or you're going to bow down at some point in your life. My hope and my prayer for each of us is that we will choose his salvation, that we will choose his grace, his mercy, that we will choose his freedom, the life that he has for us, and that we will bow down today. And it won't be a moment that is too late for you when you are under the earth and have to bow down. Let me ask you to stand up in this place today. There's a powerful song that says if we really want to reach the sky, then our knees are